Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The ancient Stoic philosophers had the concept of a sage, a wise, saintly person who embodied and lived the principles and ethics of the philosophy to perfection. They set such a high standard that they were not sure there had ever really been a sage, or whether there ever might be one in the future. But still, the concept was important to them, because it set a standard for which all who bought into the philosophy could strive for. God sets a very high standard for Christians in the last verse of our text and scripture reading this morning, when he says that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Even though they were hypocritical and perhaps often pretended greater perfection than was actually the case, the Pharisees did do their best to keep the law in its finest points. And when that wasn't enough, they even elaborated the law into greater and greater detail, so that they even made it more difficult for themselves to be perfect keepers of the law. So Jesus was setting a very high standard for us in legal terms when he says that we have to be morally and ethically better than the very best of humans. But that raises several questions for us. One question would be, how good is good enough by God's standard or expectation? The Pharisees set a very high standard for themselves, but God raises the bar for us, because we have to surpass them, Jesus says. And elsewhere in Scripture, God says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Moral perfection even includes the finest and minor points of the law, because Jesus said that anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same, they will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And so it's not just a kind of general obedience, overlooking a few points here and there that might not seem that important. But Jesus says we have to keep all of the law to perfection. And that's not the worst of it yet, because Jesus also says that we have to be good enough to provide moral examples of moral goodness for everyone else. Everyone else in our world. And if it isn't the Christians who set their light and the light of their faith and their life on the top of the hill, who else is going to do it? And so Jesus says we are to be the salt of the earth, the salt that flavors the society, people, and culture around us. And God doesn't make that moral distinction that has become popular today of dividing between private and public conduct, which ultimately is kind of an absence of any standard whatsoever. But it says that what you do in private really doesn't matter. In private, you can violate the ordinary moral standards of one's day. But God doesn't do that. God says that we have to be morally good enough to be taken seriously by others and to serve as a challenge to them to become better people in God's eyes. And you and I know that in the ministry, we are held even to the highest standard of all, because we have to set an example to those who belong to the flock of God's people, people already committed to living a Christian life. You and I have a very high standard. But then that raises the second question. Why does God set such a high standard? A lower, more attainable standard would seem to make more sense. Because whenever a standard is too high, it becomes daunting to us. It can be, in fact, even discouraging to try to measure up to the standard. But there is a real purpose behind God setting his standard and his expectations so high for us. Because if the standard were low, we might deceive ourselves into thinking that we are doing an adequate job of keeping God's law. Or we might even be tempted to think that we have accomplished so much goodness that we deserve some reward, some merit, or credit in God's eyes. Think of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus thinking that he had done an excellent job. And so he told Jesus, "All these laws I have kept. Have I missed any?" And he missed the whole point, and Jesus taught it to him. He hadn't done a good enough job. There was still something he hadn't done. His commitment hadn't been finally tested to the point of selling everything that he had and giving to the poor. When the standard is set high as it is in our text, no one can take refuge or comfort in their own goodness. Instead, it forces us to admit our sinful depravity before God. And we are forced to realize that if the law is to be kept, someone is going to have to do it for us because we simply can't do it on our own. And that leads us to the question, what are the consequences of failure? They are dire. Because God tells it is going to mean exclusion from the kingdom of heaven. There's no future reward, but only future punishment for those who do not keep the law. But lest we despair, Jesus then comes along with the gospel and says, "I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law for us." God could have solved the problem in only one of two ways. Either by abolishing the law altogether so that no one would be guilty, no one would have failed, or he could solve it by sending someone, namely his own son, to fulfill all of the law perfectly in our place. And that's what Jesus did. And so while God gives us the law in his harshest terms, there's no give and take, there's no lowering of standard, there's no mollifying at all of the punishment that will accrue to it. But at the same time, then he comes along with the blessed gospel and tells us that Jesus has come to take the burden for us. And we know that in all his perfection and his divinity, he has never failed at all. He has done it perfectly in our place. This is the blessed news of God's message and gospel to us. There is the law of God. We can't be antinomians. There is the law of God. We can't lower the standard on our own. But we can hear the blessed news that Jesus came to keep it for us. And because he has kept the law for us, we will be not guilty on the day of judgment. And then we will have that reward of the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.